Judges chapter 10. After Abimelech there arose to save Israel Tola the son of Puah, son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, and he lived at Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim, and he judged Israel 23 years. Then he died and was buried at Shamir. After him arose Jair the Gileadite, who judged Israel 22 years, and he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they had 30 cities called Havoth-Jair to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Chamon. The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the Ammonites, and they crushed and oppressed the people of Israel that year. For 18 years they oppressed all the people of Israel who were beyond the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. And the Ammonites crossed the Jordan to fight also against Judah, and against Benjamin, and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was severely distressed. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you, because we have forsaken our God, and have served the Baals." And the Lord said to the people of Israel, "Did I not save you from the Egyptians, and from the Amorites, from the Ammonites, and from the Philistines? The Sidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I saved you out of their hand. Yet you have forsaken me, and served other gods. Therefore I will save you no more. Go and cry out to the gods whom you have chosen. Let them save you in the time of your distress." And the people of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you. Only please deliver us this day." So they put away the foreign gods from among them, and served the Lord, and he became impatient over the misery of Israel. Then the Ammonites were called to arms, and they encamped in Gilead. And the people of Israel came together, and they encamped at Mizpah. And the people, the leaders of Gilead, said one to another, "Who is the man who will begin to fight against the Ammonites? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." In Judges chapter 10, we start to encounter a lot more minor judges. These judges have very few details given about them. Perhaps one of the more interesting things here is the chiastic pattern that we can see from chapters 10 to 12 in the pattern of the judges. Gideon has 70 sons, Tola has none. Jair has 30 sons, Jephthah has a son but no daughters, and as it tragically ends up for him, no heir. Ibsen has 30 sons, Elon has none. Abdon has 40 sons and 30 grandsons, which makes 70. So Abdon is comparable to Gideon with 70 sons. Elon, comparable with Tola, both of them have none. Ibsen and Jair both have 30 sons. And then in the center is Jephthah, the guy who has no heir. By centering on Jephthah in this way and framing his lack of an heir compared to people like Abdon and Gideon and Jair and Ibsen, we see something of the significance of that particular story. Increasingly, the matter of dynasties is starting to emerge. These people have sons, they don't seem to establish strong dynasties, but this issue is starting to come to the surface. Tola is the first of the judges mentioned here, and Tola and Puah are both words referring to scarlet dye, as James Bajon has noted. Also, they're prominent names of the tribe of Issachar, as we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. The sons of Issachar, Tola, Puah, Jashub, and Shimron, 4. A previous character called Jair is mentioned in Numbers chapter 32. He also has a number of cities in the region of Gilead named after him. And in the New Testament, we meet a character called Jairus, so this name seems to belong to that region. Jair is another judge discussed only briefly, most notable for his sons, their donkeys, and the cities. The words used here for the donkeys and the cities are similar. Jair has many sons, presumably because, like other of the judges, he multiplies wives. This is not a good sign. It's direct disobedience of the law for the kings, which by analogy should apply to the judges too. There are further changes in the ways that these judges are spoken of. John Barrett has noted that there are no references to battles, no reference to rest, but reference to their death and the location of their burial. They accomplish something, but they don't bring full rest. They are cut off. James Bajon also notes that they are said to arise rather than being raised up by the Lord. The Lord's agency in their deliverance is less pronounced, and the activity of the judges seems to be less effective. Death overtakes them, and they do not ultimately bring rest. The people of Israel do evil in the sight of the Lord. They serve 7 different sets of gods. And this is an act of great treachery and betrayal. The Lord is angry with a jealous anger as a result of it. He sells them into the hands of the Ammonites for 18 years. This can be paralleled with chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. He gathered to himself the Ammonites and the Amalekites and went and defeated Israel, and they took possession of the city of Palms, and the people of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. There's another 18 years here, and once again the Ammonites are involved. God has delivered them from 7 different nations, only for them to give themselves over to 7 different gods. And at this point, the Lord simply refuses to save them. They come to the Lord in times of their distress once again, but they abandon him the moment that times are good. God seems to be there to bail them out when they're in trouble. They use him to deliver them, rather than committing themselves to him. The Israelites respond to the Lord's refusal to deliver them at this point by a more serious expression of repentance and change of course. They put away their false gods and they serve the Lord. And the Lord at this point becomes impatient with their suffering and their misery. The Lord is a jealous God, but he's not a vengeful God. He does not delight in seeing his people suffer. And the chapter ends on a cliffhanger. The Ammonites turn up and encamp in Gilead, while Israel encamps at Mizpah. This is in the region of the Transjordan, not that far from the Jabbok. The leaders of Gilead are desperate. Whoever is able to lead them in battle will be head over them all. The desperation with which they are reaching out for a leader in the time of their distress is similar to the desperation with which they reach out to the Lord whenever they're in trouble. A desperation that is not matched with faithfulness when it really counts. A question to consider. What lessons about the character of true and false repentance might we learn from this chapter?